Okay, so this one is for you scientists out there and the historians. It's for both of you. Before 1609, the world believed in Aristotle's view that the universe was geocentric. The sun and planets revolved around the earth. In 1609, Galileo discovered heliocentrism, a fancy word for the earth and planets revolving around the sun. Albert Einstein referred to this discovery as the start of modern physics. It was that important, this discovery. The Roman Catholic Church in 1609 was not very pleased by this discovery. The church had taught for over 1,000 years that the Bible taught a geocentric solar system. It was clear in the Bible, geocentric. Galileo promised the church not to teach heliocentrism, yet he was persuaded a little later, a couple years later, to publish a book. And in 1633, Galileo was tried by the Roman Catholic Church and found guilty of heresy. And he was put into house arrest, and then he died under house arrest. On October 31st of 1992, 359 years after he was found guilty, the Roman Catholic Church reversed its decision and admitted that the church was wrong, correcting the error it had made with Galileo. 359 years it took. The Samaritan woman at the well Jesus met in the Gospel of John is the victim of the same smear campaign. Seriously. But let me give you some background about why I say that. The narrative of the woman at the well in chapter 4 is the exact opposite of the narrative we had last week with Nicodemus in chapter 3. Nicodemus was a man with a title and a name. We know his name. It's Nicodemus. He was Jewish, a Jewish leader, which makes him a religious insider. And he came to Jesus at night, we're told. The woman at the well in today's story has no name. We never find out what her name is. She is a Samaritan, which makes her a religious outsider in Israel. And she meets Jesus at high noon, the brightest part of the day, where there's the most light. Another thing you need to know is how important that well in the narrative was. Remember, they go on for a couple of verses about Jacob's well. Jacob's well is the place that Jacob met Rachel. The well is the betrothal spot in the book of Genesis, chapter 29, the place all Jewish people trace the foundation of Israel to that well. Okay, so there's symbolism in that well. It's very important. Just as Jacob met Rachel and literally started Israel, Jesus meets the woman at the same well and offers her a relationship with God that she cannot begin to understand. Just like Jacob and Rachel don't understand that they are starting Israel. As the woman at the well encounters Jesus, it becomes clear that the woman is incredibly receptive to Jesus, much more receptive than Nicodemus was. As the woman and Jesus interact, we get to verse 16. And verse 16 is where it really starts to get exciting. So if I start getting too excited, I just get really excited about this, okay? Because I just find this really exciting. Verse 16 is, this is where the woman at the well, we find out, has become a victim, like Galileo was. But for the woman, it's been going on for over 1,000 years. The woman at the well's reputation has been smeared by the church for over 1,000 years. I'm not exaggerating. Let me read you verses 16 to 18. We read, it's a lot of passage today, so I'm going to read some passages to you. We read this today. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The earliest writings in the Christian church started to label the woman at the well as a woman of ill repute, a harlot. a prostitute. She's had five husbands, and she's on her sixth. Why? Well, the church surmised she's a prostitute. That is wrong for three reasons. And I don't normally give you three reasons in one sermon, but I'm going to give you all three reasons. The first is the woman did not have multiple sexual partners. Women did not have multiple sex partners in biblical times. They didn't. If they did, they were stoned to death. How do we know that? The Gospel of John chapter 8. They bring a woman to Jesus caught in the act of adultery, and they're getting ready to stone her to death. And then there's that famous passage. Jesus says, "You who have not sinned, throw the first stone," and they all leave, and the woman, okay? So, John chapter 8. The second reason, women were not them. Just like it is in many places in the Middle East today, women were not allowed to divorce men. There is no record of a woman divorcing a man in any of the records that survive from ancient times. Therefore, the husbands were divorcing this woman over and over and over again. It kind of makes you wonder why, doesn't it? Why would she keep getting divorced over and over and over again? And that leads us to number three. Nowhere in the narrative, and this is, I think, the most important one. Nowhere in the narrative does the woman ask Jesus for forgiveness, nor does Jesus ever offer the woman forgiveness. However, repeatedly in the Gospel of John, people come to Jesus seeking forgiveness. Repeatedly, they come and say, "I've done something wrong. Will you forgive me?" And Jesus says, "Yes, you're forgiven." So why doesn't the woman ask for forgiveness? Why doesn't Jesus offer forgiveness? The reason she is divorced so much and she's not seeking forgiveness from Jesus is because she's not a prostitute. She's barren. She is unable to have children. So each of her husbands, who were likely brothers, I'll explain that in a second, keep passing her to the next brother. See, in the book of Leviticus, if a woman is divorced or widowed, she goes to live with her son or daughter. However, if the woman is barren and has no son or daughter, she goes to live with the next eldest brother in the family of the original husband. That's why she's getting water at noon. Who would go and get water in the desert at noon? No one. Right? You're thinking, no one would go at noon. Why is she there getting water in the hottest part of the day? It's not because she's a prostitute and no one wants to be with her. That's what the church has taught for over 1,000 years. She's there at noon because she can't afford to go in the morning and wait in line with all the other women when it's cool, because there's only one well and she has no one to provide for her. So her side job, the way she makes ends meet, is to go and get water for other people and deliver it at noon. If she doesn't get water, she doesn't eat. I have a reason for telling you all this. And I know this was an incredibly long setup, and I hope you've stuck with me, because like I said, it excites me, but there's a little bit more excitement. All this is important because of how it ends. The way it ends is a lesson for all of us. Verse 18, the last phrase. If you're a biblical scholar, it's verse 18c. Okay, I'm going to repeat it, so don't worry, you won't be left out. Verse 18, I'm going to say, "For you have had five husbands." Jesus said, "For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." What you have said is true. She told Jesus the truth about her life. So, and this is the lesson for all of us here today, when you are truthful about your life with God, God responds. And the response is verses 25 and 26. Verses 25 and 26, the woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, I am the one who is speaking to you. Now, I don't normally do this, but if you open any Bible, including the one in the pew in front of you, if you look at verse 26, it will say, I am he, and your bulletin has, I am he. However, there's a little letter, and that letter down below says, the Greek says, I am, not I am he, I am. Okay, that's very important, and I know Greek Sunday morning, please stop, Father Jay, I get it. Okay, but that you do not understand. I cannot over-exaggerate how important I am is. This is the first of 8 times Jesus does this in the Gospel of John. The woman tells Jesus the truth about her life, so Jesus tells the woman the truth about his life. This is the first time, we're only in chapter 4. No one knows the truth about Jesus' life. I am is the most important statement in the entire Old Testament. At the burning bush, when Moses sees the burning bush and God tells Moses, go to Egypt and free everyone from Egypt, Moses says, who am I supposed to say sent me? And God's response from the burning bush, I am. That's it. I am. It's so powerful. The woman immediately understands. You know how we know the woman immediately understands? You totally didn't catch this. Okay, if you went to Bible study on Wednesday, you might have caught it. But if you didn't come to Bible study on Wednesday, you totally missed this. Verse 28. Then the woman left her jar and went back to the city. I know, it doesn't sound like much. She left her water jar. It seems so small. Imagine the most important thing you own. The one thing in your life completely keeping you alive, the only thing you own that will get you dinner tonight. Imagine dropping it and walking away. Imagine that. She dropped her jar and left it. Her whole life. She told the truth to Jesus. Jesus responded with the truth of his identity back. The truth of Jesus' identity is all she will ever need in her life. It's all we will need in our lives. Amen.